feel like the tempter has come. And I even flipped over there and read that passage of Scripture where that Jesus, when he had fasted and prayed, then the Bible said in Matthew, and when the tempter came, or then the tempter came, remember how it says it there. I feel like God dealt with my heart today that somebody is really going through it, and there's a temptation there. And, I don't even know who you are or what you're going through, but I feel like God dealt with my heart that He's going to help you through this. You see, the devil came to the Lord, and I may just have to flip over here and read this. And this wasn't really my intentions, but it'd be all right if we do that. I marked it just because I read it today. But the Bible says that, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And this first temptation was the temptation to satisfy one's own desires, to fulfill that you want. Amen. Now, I'm going to go on. I'm going to try to talk about this. It wasn't intended, but that's the way I'm going right now. And I feel like there's a temptation in the devil after we've done everything that we've done up to this point. And folks have fasted and they've prayed and they've done everything, being led of the Spirit into the wilderness. The devil has come right now. And there's some decisions that's going to have to be made. Just bear with me just for a few minutes here. I may not get as red-faced preaching tonight. I may be just a little bit more laid back in my approach with this. But the tempter has come. And there's a great temptation, I feel like, that has swept through right here among some people right here tonight. A temptation to fulfill your own wants. To do what you want to do. Now, I mean, it's not necessarily that these things are altogether wrong. There would have been nothing wrong with taking and commanding stones to be made bread. I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating bread, at least as far as I'm concerned, unless you're on a certain diet and you're trying to keep the pounds off and all that. And I never have kept up with it. I don't know what anything is. I just eat what I want and go on. But that's another story. But there's a lot of folks that the devil, if he can, it's not necessarily the sin. That there is a certain sin that has become our problem. It's that problem of trying to overcome our wants. That there's a conflict here between what we want and what God wants. Huh? Come on now. There is a battle that's going on. I was reading today somewhere in something. I picked up a little book today and was just flipping through it. And the man was talking about the battle, spiritual battles that we go through, and how often they occur, and everything that we're up against. And I read just a little bit of it, didn't get a whole lot out of it, except I know that we are in the battle. And there's a conflict going on between our own selves and between what God wants done. And the devil has appeared on the scene with something that is perfectly harmless. It really, as far as it is, it may not amount to a whole lot. Our statement is sometimes in the hills is it may not amount to a hill of beans or something of that nature. But it's something that's going to divert our attention away from what we're trying to set out to accomplish here. Just bear with me here. You see, there's nothing wrong with bread. But when bread is all you get, then that's not going to be enough to help you survive. You hear me now? I feel like even in this service tonight, Brother Jeff's already made mention of it. He's already talked about it here, that we can stop and concede and say, be satisfied with a few little victories. And that is a temptation right there in itself, to be content with that. Just bear with me here with this just a few minutes. This ain't really on the agenda, but it's where we're going. But there are some folks right here tonight. I feel like you have really been under the stress and the pressure of temptation. There's something pulling you, saying, do it this way. way. You know you really want it. What man in his right mind after a 40-day fast would not be hungry? And bread would be enough at this point in time to stop. But I want to tell you something. The Lord spoke back to him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You see, there came a time that God's will was going to have to take a preeminence over a man's will. And that's where we are right now on this service tonight. I'm going to get down to this and try to give us something encouraging. This wasn't really my intention, so you'll have to really bear with me. Come on, he was capable of making those stones into bread. He could have possibly done it, but would not act upon his own will just to satisfy his own self-interest. I wonder tonight, how easy is it for us just to give in to do what we want to do? And I wonder, in the warfare that we're up against, how often do we surrender to our own wants and our own desires, knowing that God has got a greater reward prepared for us if we will deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Him? You hear me tonight? You see what the devil done right here? Is he just wanted him to just give himself what he wanted? But aren't you glad that the Lord gave us an example, amen, that we ourselves do not have to surrender, amen, to self-centered ideas and to self-interest, but it is more important, it's very imperative that we do the will of God more than anything else. Come on now, and I feel like the tempter has come. But you go on down, and I'm just going to glean through this just a little bit in this. And notice the scene in this changes, because after this acting upon self-interest is the first temptation. And I don't want to say entirely that it is the greatest temptation, but it is the easiest for us to give in to. Come on now. Temptation is not always something that has to necessarily be something that is in black and white or red and written in the words of the Lord. It's sin. Temptation to just pull your attention away from the Lord. I don't know, I may have told you here before what Susanna Wesley said. She was one of those, she was the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. One of the greatest mothers that's ever been noted in the history of Christianity. But one thing that she did, Brother Keith Willis, she never sat down in groups as far as with all of her children that she had. They had 10 children, 8 or 10 children, ever how many it was. They didn't just sit down in one group and have daily devotions. But what she would do is every evening, she would take one of her children and carry them off to a little room and have private devotions with them on certain days of the week. She'd carry them in there. But she never at any time, Brother Jeff Smith, ever told them and categorized sin as such. But she said this. She said, anything that cools your affection toward God, you need to leave that alone. And you see, sometimes it's just once that gets in the way of doing God's will. I really don't know why I'm telling you this tonight, but there's some folks here that are on the verge of giving in to temptation and just do it their way. It seems to be logical. It seems to be feasible. Everything about it seems to be the right reason. And come on now, I feel like telling you this. It's been up to several months ago now. I was offered a job making that I could have made clear $100,000 a year,
clear money. It was going into the farm work. There where my father-in-law runs the farm and have a house that's paid for. I could have sat there. That's where my wife's been raised. Everything be turned over to me. But I got to praying about it. And I can tell you logically, it was the right answer. Physically, it was the right answer. Financially, it was the right answer. For a convenience, it was the right answer. But when it came up and when I had to sit down, I was four for four. But when it came to spiritual, it just didn't add up. And it was one of the toughest things that I ever had to do. Especially while at the same time I was being offered a pastorship of a church right there in that town. I'm telling you, I had every reason in the world to just act upon my wants. But I got to praying about it. And spiritually it just wasn't right. It was a temptation. Come on, we may have never wanted for money as far as that was concerned. But it was not worth the risk of getting out of the will of God. And I feel like telling somebody tonight, I'm really beginning to feel the anointing right here. Something is beginning to deal with me all day long. You're under the gun and you're being tempted. But I want to tell you right now, do it God's way. We do not need a carnal checklist to figure some things out. We do not need to go through and take a poll of every other carnal person in the community to find out how they feel about it. There are some things, if it does not line up spiritually, and it does not mean that we're going to move along more spiritually and get a deeper walk with God, then you've got to tell the devil, it is written, it'll take more than bread to keep me alive. I've got to live by the entirety of God's Word.
Well, help me now. But the face of this tempting of the Lord begins to change right here. Because notice, once we go from the easy to give in self-interest, then the devil has to resort to drastic measures in order to try to tempt the Lord then. Then notice what verse number 5 said. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Huh? And verse number 8 said, and again the devil taketh him up. Notice, this is the direction that we're really striving spiritually, is to go up. So the devil takes on the appearance of an angel of light. And the first thing that he does after this first temptation is he starts taking us up. Huh? But notice, the intent is not to take us up and then on up and up higher still. His intention is, verse number 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It is a fact that before the devil will take you down, he will make an attempt to take you up. He'll make you feel better about it than, come on now, than you ever imagined. It looks like it's going the right direction. Everything feels like it's in the right direction. Come on, suddenly here we are. We go from ground level to the pinnacle of the temple. Come on, I got to try to help you here and tell you something. But when he gets up there and everything seeming to be so good, then the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And you see, then comes the temptation of uncommanded dangers. Come on now. We know that God will deliver us from danger. And we know what God can take us out of. But when we deliberately fall into the trap of the devil and the snare of the devil and we allow him to lead us up, you notice the reason I know this is something about this is verse number 1 said, and Jesus was led up of the Spirit, and verse 5 said, and the devil taketh him up. I'm telling you that for a little while they'll almost run side by side, and everything about it seems to be just right. God help me tonight. But I feel like telling somebody, the tempter is leading you up in
to bring you down. Hey, come on now. When He gets you there, He's going to ask you to do something that was not commanded by the Word of the Lord. We know He'll deliver us from scorpions and serpents. But will He deliver us from that we intentionally do ourselves? Improper, careless, intentional conduct. Well, I feel like you start feeling your elevation going up. But when you get to that place and suddenly something pops into your mind that asks you to do something that is not scriptural and is not what God told you to do, it's time you say, it's not worth the risk to tempt God by making the wrong step. Come on now. I really, my. God knows my heart here, and I'm not going to preach very long. You see, we could get the attitude that as long as I go to church, that's all that matters. But if you continue to take the wrong steps, somewhere you're going to fall down. But I'm up at church. Come on now. And then we find that you're down on the sidewalk. You're up at the altar call. And suddenly you're down. I'm telling you, the devil is very deceiving. And he set his mind right here in this revival to try to get somebody's attention. And in the process, he's trying to take you what looks like the same direction that the rest of us are going. But when you get there, the devil is telling you, now, if you are what you really say you are, go ahead and take this plunge. Take this step. Come on, if you're really God's child, nothing will happen to you. Isn't that what the devil told Eve? He said, God knows. Come on, God's just telling you that. He knows that if you eat this fruit, you're going to be as smart as He is. You're going to have the wisdom of God. It has nothing to do with dying. And I want to tell you right here, amen, there comes a time when we think we know as much as anybody does. We almost to the point we offer so many excuses that we feel like we are as wise as the voice of God. We know better. And so when the devil says jump in an attempt to prove ourselves, we take a flying leap into something that God never told you to do. God never expected you to make those kinds of steps. You hear me tonight? It is just as much wrong to get ahead of the Holy Ghost as it is to fall behind Him. Because when you run ahead, you run the danger, amen, of tripping and falling and destroying yourself. There is no promise in the Word of God that when you run ahead of Him, that God is going to take care of you. So we must, as Jesus did, say, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Somebody right here tonight, you're fixing to make a step that God did not tell you to make. God has not spoke to you about this. You're first acting upon your own wants. But secondly, you're acting to prove yourself. Come on now. But when we have to take a spatula or a shovel and scrape you up off the sidewalk because that you acted out of the will of God, then I'm going to tell you something. I'd hate to be the one that's preaching the spiritual funeral because you got ahead of the Holy Ghost. If God told you what you must do, then you stick with that. If He told you to wait, then you'd better wait. If He tells you to run, you better run. But until He tells you what to do, my Bible said the steps of a good man, they are ordered by the Lord. It's not something that comes comes on a menu. Come on, there we run through a fast food and get a, come on now, a quick order it. The wind doesn't change that we go from ordered by the Lord to ordering the Lord. Let me tell you right here, somebody in this service, God knows you're here. God knew you was going to be here. And I told you I didn't have any intentions of preaching this. But I feel the Holy Ghost has instructed me tonight to tell you, before you jump, you better wait to hear from the words of the Lord. It is a trick of the devil. It is a snare of the devil. I think what I'm going to do is, what did the Lord tell you to do? Well, I'm at church, and the devil said that if I'd done this, it would prove that I was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Huh? Come on now. There are some things we put ourselves at risk when we move out based upon our own ideas. When we think, yeah, that would really show them. Huh? Who are we going to show? What's it going to prove? Come on, now, I'm not interested in somebody just showing me how foolish they can get. Come on, now, church house was never meant for that. Come on, but if God says do it, you can rest assured everything's going to be all right. But standing up there on the top of that pinnacle, come on, Jesus stood there. I'm telling you, he could have proved to the devil, but the devil already knew who he was, or he wouldn't have been there. The devil already knew who he belonged to, what kind of person he was. And can I tell you, the devil wouldn't be talking to you right now if you wasn't on the right side of life. Those that the devil never speaks to are those that he already has. And for the rest of us, listen, it's just a temptation. And I'm telling you right now, guard your steps, steady your balance, and stand firm on what thus saith the Word of God. Hallelujah. He's taking you up in order to take you down. Mama, I gotta hurry here. I can't get past this. I want to go on, but I can't get past this. You're being tempted to take a step uninstructed by the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot always rest in confidence that because God has been with you up to this point, that he'll stay with you. When you step outside the will of God, you run the risk of immediate death. You remember what happened to Samson? I mean, what kind of man is this that sets and lays his head in the lap of Delilah and plays as though it's a game? He was given the Nazarite vow from the time that he was born. And I ain't got time to go through all the Nazarite vow. Oh, but let's just cut straight to the end of it here. He broke every vow that he took. He broke every single one of them. And at the end, laying in Delilah's lap, tell me where your secret power lies. But well, I'll tell you, it's when they said, if you would take and bind me with 7 green withs, huh? Then I would become as a normal man. And then soon as he falls asleep, she wraps him up, ties him up, and she says, the Philistines be upon thee. And he jumps up and he breaks the withs as though they're nothing, as though they're just a small piece of twine. He should have got the idea then. He was headed the wrong direction. But he laid back down again. And next it was new robes. And then it was weaving of the locks of his hair in a weaver's beam. And all these things. And finally she broke down and cried and said, "You've lied to me. Why can't you tell me the truth?" And before it's over, he tells her everything. She shaves his head. She says, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And you know what happens? He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And he got up and said, "I'll shake myself as at other times." But when he went to shaking, there was nothing there. Why? He was tempted. Amen. Of uncommended dangers. And I want to tell you tonight, don't take that step. I really feel a burden about this tonight. I've been troubled all afternoon as I've flipped here and there and yonder and read through scriptures and read through different things that I had wrote down in the Bible. But I kept all along. The words kept coming back to me over and over and over again. There's a snare in your path. I flipped over there and I read a few verses. Over here, come on now. Just bear with me just a few more minutes here. I'll try to get done preaching at some point in time here tonight. But I read over here, and it said, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Psalm 31:4 said, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." And I'm feel like telling you tonight that the trap has been baited and you're in a place that you're in danger. You better not make that move, friend. I wish I knew who I was preaching to tonight. I wish I could just go back and lay my hand on your head and maybe it would really help this service out. But somebody here, you've been tempted and today it's been worse than it's ever been. Come on now. Hey, for the past several days it was the fact that you toyed with the idea of giving in to want, but you finally suppressed that. And now I feel that the Lord has told me tonight, you've come up, the devil is leading you up, and now he's telling you, you can do this, make this step, it'll be alright. Come on, it'll prove just how spiritual you are. But I tell you, the man that moves without God is foolish. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto them, "If all these things would I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." The temptation of worldly ambition. Just trying to make something in life. It was just a temptation of gifts for gratitude. "I'll give you this if you'll do this." Pleasure for praise. When somebody comes and makes you an offer that sounds more like an exchange, you better leave it alone. When somebody comes and tells you, "If you'll do this for me, don't you lie for nobody. Don't stretch the truth. Don't cover for somebody else that's doing wrong." I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Just give me a good tug right there. Don't you cover for them. If they're committing sin, and they say, if you'll keep your mouth shut, I'll promise to get right. That's the temptation. I'll give you this if you'll just do this for me. Huh? Come on now. Ah, hallelujah. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right here. Stir my soul. I'm telling you, somebody here is trying to cover something for somebody. You've done been asked to do it. You caught something. You've seen something. You know something. But you're afraid to open your mouth. I'm telling you right now, whenever you take part with it, and you know it, and you keep your mouth shut, you hear me right now, you're taking part in that sin, and you are as guilty. What are you saying? I'm telling you, if you bow down at the feet of the devil, come on, you are the same as that one that is the devil. You hear me right now? There is no covering for sin. Listen, we can keep little secrets. We can hide it under the rug. We can sweep it in the corner. Stick it in the closet. But sin is still sin. It'll always be sin. And you can't get around sin. And woe be to the man, woman, boy, or girl that's in this house that has been offered. Keep your mouth shut. Come on now. I tell you right now, you better run and plead for the mercy of the Lord. When somebody tries to talk you into something, you say, get thee behind me. He said, get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. There's no trade-off. If you'll just, fill out an application and fill in the part that you want, and they tell you I'll fill in the rest. Don't you agree with that? I'm telling you, if it took me getting a better job and I had to lie on it, I'd rather live on minimum wage than I would to make $1 million a year, knowing I'd done it under false pretenses. Huh? I don't know why I'm preaching this way. I really don't know. You may not know either. But I feel like talking to somebody right here tonight. Come on, you better not do it. Don't allow anybody to fill in your blanks. Talk you into something. It's taking you up. And come on, you stand and testify and say the Lord give you that good job. But I want to tell you something. When it starts dragging you out of church and you start missing more church and more church, God didn't have anything to do with that. Come on, you hear me? Now, you traded gifts for gratitude, or the devil got his way, and whether you realize it or not, when you buckle and humble down to the God of money, hey, come on now, then I want to tell you, you're doing exactly what the devil tried to give to the Lord today. It's a temptation, amen, of finding that ambition in life. I drove by this sign out here today. On this church out here down the street. And Sister Andrew had made mention of it. My wife did the other day. About it. It says money, money, money. And we've sat and tried to figure out, what are they trying to tell us? And I drove back there and I thought, maybe they're trying to tell us that money is the root of all evil. And I thought of all the scripture in the Bible concerning money. Serving, mammon rather than God. I know I've got that turned backward, but that's just the way it is sometimes. Huh? And for filthy lucre's sake. Huh? And I thought about all these things. And my God, Lord knows my heart here. I'm not trying to get on anybody. But I'm telling you something. You better make sure it's God. Because when you bow to money, you're giving worship to the devil. If you can be bought off, you will be bought off. Huh? If you put a price tag on what it'd take for a trade, the devil will come up to the price tag.
I probably told you years ago I had a set of books. I really liked those books. Some of my favorite books I ever had. And I just loved to read them. And a boy called me one time and he said, I'm looking for such and such author. And I said, well, if I find some, he said, ain't you got some? I said, yes, sir, I do. I got all four books that he wrote. And he said, well, what will you take for them? And I told him, Brother Keith, I said, they're not for sale. I said, those are mine. He said, I understand that. He said, but if you were going to sell them, what would you take for them? And to make a long story short, I said, well, if I was going to sell them, I would have to have, and I quoted him a price of $50 a piece. And he said, they're sold. I said, they're not. He said, no, you said if you were going to sell them. He said, now I'm telling you, you just sold them. Wow. I made a deal and didn't even know it. And somebody here tonight, you put the price way up there where you thought he couldn't reach it. And suddenly you started to walk. As the devil took you up to an exceeding high mountain and said, I'll give you all this. If you, come on now. I'm not asking you to do it. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. There ain't another soul on this mountain. Just get down on your knees. Hallelujah. It is written. Hallelujah. Well, he meant business. And I hope you do. Because somebody's being tempted. I'm telling you. I really want us to have a shouting service. I really think we could. Still yet. Because whenever he got done this last time, the devil knew he was not going to be changed. He would not turn around. After he made the last statement, the Bible said in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Wow! Come on now. I'm telling you, if you'll just say no tonight, I said if you'll just say no tonight, you've been hounded for days. The tempter has come. He's been right there. I wish I could preach better to you right here. I mean, I really do. But then the devil leaveth him. And as soon as the devil leaves, the angels show up and start ministering to him. I'm telling you, it'd be amazing. We could be surrounded by angels before this service is over with. If you'll just send the devil on his way and say, get thee behind me. Get out of my face. I'm tired of looking at you. I'm tired of hearing from you. Get thee behind me. And when he did it, the angels came and ministered to him everything that he'd had need of for all those 40 days. Suddenly the angels came and they took care of everything. Listen, you do not have to give in to the devil just to get some things that you need in life. The angels will come and give you everything that you need to get you through. I'm not going to preach you much longer here. If I miss this message tonight, if I got off track, then why doesn't the one that's being tempted just stand up and say, shut up, devil? Listen, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in. It's not a sin for the devil to show up. It's a sin when you entertain him longer than was necessary.
It's not a sin. Are you hearing me? It's not a sin for you. Come on now, to have the devil to speak thoughts to your mind. But it is a sin whenever you give in and do them. Huh? And so tonight, I don't care one at a time. Everybody all at the same time. It really doesn't matter to me right here. Come on now. It doesn't matter how we do it. But we ought to have a shut up devil right here in this service tonight. We ought to say, get thee behind me. I'm tired of listening to you. For the past few days you've been around here. I'm telling you, he come flat footed to where you was and met you on your way as you was coming out of the wilderness. You hear me now. But when that didn't work, he started leading you up. And when you didn't give in, he led you up higher. And you're still not giving in. That's only one thing that'll end this conversation. Let's get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not listening anymore. Shut up, devil. I'm tired of it. I'm going to do it God's way. Come on, I've made up my mind. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going all the way. Does anybody here tonight feel like they ought to stand and tell the devil, get out of here?
I don't want nobody to know it's me. Why not? He's not going to care to make a spectacle out of you. When it's over with, he's going to put your head in his trophy case and smile about and say, I stole one right out of revival at a Flatwoods Holiness Tabernacle right there about the end of January. I talked them right into it. Come on, you notice this ain't a heated argument. This is a friendly discussion. One man makes an offer and another man says no. Come on now. And listen, that's all it's coming down to right here is the devil's making an offer. It sounds irresistible. It sounds sensible. But somebody here tonight needs to rise to their feet and say, I'm not listening anymore. You need to tune the devil out. Change stations and listen to something else. Amen. In the moment that you tell the devil to get thee behind me, I can see the angels suddenly start descending right here where we are and start giving us this victory. You notice at the top of this mountain that the devil's the one that leaves. Though he led him there. And that is where the mount of temptation becomes the mount of transfiguration. Hallelujah. Come on now. Anybody here feel like saying, shut up, devil? I know I'm saying it. Shut up, devil. But there are a couple of folks here now in particular that you're hiding in the crowd. You're among the multitude. And if everybody else is saying it, you're saying it. But you need to slip right out there and say, wait a minute here. I've listened to this stuff long enough. I got something to say. You see, up to this point, the devil had been there, come on now, instigating all the conversation. He had been starting, hey, this is what we're going to do. But before the Lord gives his final answer, he said, I got something to say right now. Get out of here. Get thee hence. Leave me alone. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou worship. Somebody here tonight say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm going to get the victory. Somebody here tonight ought to stand up and tell the devil, get out of here and leave me alone. Well, as they're coming, and before they start playing, not I mean anything special, but before their lights start playing, they can start preparing. They can't start the music until somebody sends the devil out the door.
They say, you have lost your mind. How many is there on the pulpit that needs to say this? A couple. How many are there in the pews that need to say this? A few more. Why is it so hard? Because I'm afraid. Come on, you're the Son of God. He can't push you over. You're a child of God. All He can do is talk you into doing it yourself. He cannot pluck you out of His hand. Say it. Come on. That's it. Somebody else. Do you hear that? I mean, say it just like you was talking to the devil, because he's standing right here listening right now. Come on now. He's watching you and he's got his finger pointed right in your face, daring you to say it. Come on now. Go ahead and do it just like you mean it. I mean, just tell him how you really feel. I mean, when me and the devil get into it, listen, before it's over with, this was written when he said, get thee hence. All the theologians agree. Jesus raised his voice because he meant business. It was spoken with authority. And somebody in that last stand, somebody go ahead. Somebody else. I'm telling you, we are fixing to be entertaining angels unaware right here. Today, you're not going to believe this if I tell you, probably. But I was sitting right back there on that pew while this service was going on. And I heard the flutter of wings over beside my right ear. And I said, Lord, what's all this mean? And I really didn't understand it, but I do now. I do now. Because there is a whole host of angels that are on their way to minister to what you've had to put up with for the past several days. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody, you need to go ahead and put the devil on the run. Tell him you're tired of listening to this. I'm going to get the victory. I said I'm going to get the victory. Somebody else, you tell the devil, get me behind me. Please. God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here, and the devil is staring you down. Go ahead. He's gritting his teeth. But I'm telling you, when you say this, that you've had trouble in you is going to leave. I said the devil is going to leave. I said the devil is going to leave. He's going to march back down that mountain, hang his head in defeat, because he did not become the victor over the children of God. Once again, he suffered defeat at the word of God. Is there anybody in here tonight? Let's say it tonight. Everybody, lift your voice and say, get thee behind me. Come on, get 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 behind me. They are getting ready to sing. And I feel the heavens have been opened. And the door swung open. And the Father's saying, go ahead. Minister to them now. The devil just walked out. That seemed like hell here on this earth has suddenly been transformed into a heavenly place because you resisted the devil. Anybody in here tonight more? I feel like you need to step out, walk up here to the front and tell the devil, get behind me, leave me alone, get out of here, I'm not for sale. I committed myself to the cause of Christ and I will not surrender to the voice of the devil. Here we go. Look here. Let's come tonight. As they're playing, because the rest of you's going to wait until we start singing anyway. But tonight, we're going to be camping out with angels for the next little while. Hallelujah. Why don't you come as they play and they sing? I don't know if you want to pray in the altar or if you just want to stand up and tell the devil face to face, get out of here, Satan. Your kingdom must come down. Get on out of here. Leave us alone. I'm waiting on you. Go, go, go. And the church is making their way. God is doing something right here in this service tonight special. Who would have thought hearing the devil's voice so early in this service before it's over, we'd be dancing around with the angels. But it's going to happen right here as they sing and play. Let's come up. Let's gather in here. Throw your hands in the air. Rebuke the devil. And let's come out with the victory.
King Ahab went to Naboth. Said, I want to buy your land. We can trade or I'll give you up their pride.
Don't nobody fail the Lord right now. That's going to be the difference.
Our Father, no price can fail.